Welcome to Educate and Rejuvenate, the podcast, the show that helps you teach and live well. I'm Kelsey Sorensen, a former classroom teacher, current homeschool mom, and a proud Teacher Goals author. I'm on a mission to help educators of all kinds not just survive, but thrive. Are you ready to educate and rejuvenate? Let's go. Hello, everybody. Thank you for coming in. We have had some technical difficulties this morning, both with getting streamed on Facebook. And can you all let us know in the chat if you see Jen, if you hear her? We've been having some issues getting connected this morning. Jen, can you say something to everybody?
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to see you.
Okay, I heard you. I heard you. It's like a little staticky, but we can make do with it. So, okay, let me talk. Okay, I don't hear an echo anymore. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you fine.
Oh, amazing. I think we're good to go. Yay. Thank you, Jen. Thank you. I know it's like stressful when you're live and like trying to troubleshoot something. So thank you for doing that for all of us so we can get going with this awesome episode, because we have some awesome things to talk about today. We are talking about how regulation is one of actually the most important things of like classroom management. So Jen, do you first want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. So hello, everyone. My name is Jen Adams. Trying to get my camera a little more centered here because now I'm on my phone. My setup's a little different, but I am so excited to speak with you all today. I am a special education teacher turned instructional coach. I'm the founder of Teach Love Autism, which is filled with resources and information for families and teachers looking for more support in their classrooms. I've pretty much taught every grade level from pre-K to 12th grade in both general and special education classrooms. And I love taking practical and real life resources and applications and helping teachers and parents to bring that to what they're doing with their children and their students.
Yes, and I am so excited to talk about all this today and just to have you here and for you taking the time to be here on the Educate and Rejuvenate Summer Sips podcast series. We are so thrilled to have you. Let's talk a little bit about our topic today. So we are going to talk about emotions today, which those of you who know me know I love talking about this. And Jen, I know you love talking about it as well. But we are talking about emotions, not only when it comes to ourselves, also our students. And it really goes hand in hand. But let's just start with some real life stuff. How do you typically notice when emotions start to take over in the classroom?
Sure. So I think that there are some definite physical signs or things that we can kind of see. I think of this when I used to teach my students about emotions and to understand their own things, you know, such as your face getting red, or maybe you get super quiet and you don't kind of communicate the way that you used to typically, or your muscles get tense, or it becomes more difficult to follow through with directions. And I think both applies for us as educators, parents, and also for the students. It just may look different. And I think that's one of the hardest things is it looks different for everyone. And so recognizing it may be different from child to child, and even teacher and parent. So that's something to keep in mind as well. But just being able to identify kind of what that is kind of your first step.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of what I like to talk about in our coaching too, is it's really the observation, that tuning into yourself. And so like you said, it's different person to person, it's different child to child. What would you say, what does it look like for you? Like, what's your first clue that emotions are starting to take over when you're teaching?
I would say that typically I might get a little more short with my answers to things. You know, if a student's coming and asking me a question, maybe I've been asked several times. So we all know that feeling, right? Even as parents, you get asked the same question over and over and over. So, Yeah, and getting shorter with those answers is usually something that happens to me. It's more just go do it, not can you please, and providing more explanation that's, you know, more understandable by whoever we're giving that direction to. So
yeah, I would say for me, it's, I mean, there's the getting short sometimes, but I think for me, it's not even getting short as much as just getting really agitated and feeling like my blood running faster and like just that my thoughts get more negative, like towards, like, for example, for me, it might be towards one of my children when I'm like, oh, why are you like, you know, like you mentioned, asking this question again. And then that's when I notice, that's when I'm able to clue in and be like, okay, like I need to regulate before like I can actually handle this situation well. Because if I don't, I'm not going to handle it well. And that goes for all of us. If we're dysregulated, it's really not possible to handle a situation well. And that goes for us. It goes for our students as well. So we need to be able to do it ourselves so then we can model it for the kids too and teach them how to notice when it is that emotions are taking over for them.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Can you think of a time earlier in your career when emotional regulation wasn't your strength and what that taught you?
Yeah, so actually probably from my first year of teaching, I was a general education first grade teacher, and lots of any teachers that have worked in those early childhood years knows there's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of things going on, a lot of questions being asked, a lot of directions not heard, you're repeating yourself a lot. And, you know, in those moments, I found myself sometimes reacting, getting frustrated. Maybe I was typically a person that I could try to keep myself together in the moment, but I'd find myself at lunch, you know, maybe crying in my classroom or confiding in a mentor that I had that was wonderful and just saying like, I don't know what to do. I'm trying all of these things. It feels like I'm going to pull my hair out and then even, you know, working longer hours because I thought the more work I put into my classroom that would improve some of those things, maybe help me with those stressful situations, which wasn't always the answer to that either.
Yeah, and I feel like this is so relatable. I would love to know, because we are recording this episode live, like who, while you were listening to this, was like, oh yeah, that was me. That was me my first year. That was me my fifth year, my 10th year right now, you know, because I feel like it can be so relatable to just feel like, oh, what do? I feel so out of control. I feel like control is something we want to have a lot. And so when we feel like we're out of control, that's when we get into that dysregulated emotional state, which actually causes us to be even more out of control. So it's like this cycle of just dysregulation. And that's what we want to get out of, because again, we can't control the student's behavior in that moment, right? Like, kids will do what they do. We can control our response to that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So how has your understanding of emotional regulation changed as you've gained more experience? Especially, I feel like this is really important because so many of us are working with neurodivergent learners. How has emotional regulation helped with all of your students, and especially like as we have varying needs in our classrooms, or even for those who are parents who might have their own child with ADHD or something where it's like a little out of the norm, right?
Right. So I feel like I kind of went from, you know, getting frustrated in those situations myself, you know, with my own students or my own children. And I've been able to kind of deepen my understanding of that emotional regulation is not just, you know, putting rules in your classroom. It's not just, you know, maybe the expectations that I set or the procedures that I ask my students to follow. There's more to that than meets the eye. And especially after working with a lot of students with that are neurodivergent learners, it's really helped me to understand that it could also just be sensory and emotional needs that our students have on top of you know, just because they didn't follow a direction doesn't necessarily mean they didn't want to. And I think that sometimes it's harder to see and understand the potential sensory or emotional needs that our students may have, because it's not black and white. It's not, again, like some of those things we described earlier. It's not because I'm clenching my fists. It's not because I'm throwing something. You know, I can't physically see those symptoms all the time. If we think about the thoughts mm-hmm. that we have in our heads, not everybody knows what we're thinking all of the time. And so we don't always know what our right. students have going on with those types of situations too. So I've really tried to understand that, give my students options and my own children more options to kind of share that with me and help them understand yeah. it's okay if you're feeling this way.
Yeah. And I think that is such an important thing, because often we're like, that's a negative emotion, that's a bad emotion, or you're not supposed to feel sad or angry. And that's just not true. Like, we have all of our emotions for a reason. They're all signals. And so it's teaching our children, like whether in our classroom or our own kids, how to deal with those emotions. It's what we do with them. It's whether we actually feel them and process and move through them, or if we try to push them away, or if we lash out in anger, that might not be how we want to express that, right? So such an important conversation. And I'm now seeing that we have some awesome comments here. Like, it was StreamYard, usually it moves with it, but it was stuck. So it was like, oh, why aren't people commenting? You were commenting. Thank you for your beautiful comments. I love sharing them as we go. So I see a lot of people, Jen, who relate to what you were saying. So me too, now moving to fourth and freaking out. I learned I had to control me first.
Yeah.
Robin says
yeah.
this happens in middle school too. Yes.
Yeah. If I'm being honest, and this is something I had to learn in my younger years of teaching or my earlier years, your students know, they can sense that. I feel like that also applies to our own children as parents. Your children yeah. know when you feel confident in yourself, when you've got a handle on what you're saying, what you're doing. And sometimes, even if you have to fake it till you make it, that can actually put you in the right direction to start doing it more consistently.
Yes. A thing I heard once from one of my coaches that I just love is action creates clarity. So sometimes we think we have to have it all figured out, but really it's like, oh, it's just, what is the one next step? Oh, we might have lost Jen for a sec. Hopefully she'll be back here in just a second. I'll keep reading some of your comments. I'm sure she'll be right back. But often we just need to, like she was saying, take the next step and then it becomes more clear. A lot of times we think we need to have control over every single aspect when really that's not true. We need to loosen that grip a little bit. We talked a lot about this in the Ease Into Summer podcast series we did right before this one. Jen is back. Hello. No worries. You know what? We are all teachers here. We know how to roll with the punches of technology, right? Adriana says, my class this year had me short many times. I was fortunate to have a psychologist intern come to my class a few times each week to teach. Oh, we're having the echo again. Do you have your headphones in?
Give me 1 second.
Turning that back on.
I don't know how it turned off, but let's see.
No worries. Okay, seems okay now. Oh, well, you're frozen now. I'll just keep reading off some of these comments. So I was fortunate to have a psychologist intern come in a few times each week to teach an ESL lesson to the students, but wow, it helped me too. Yes, right? Even a lot of the like social emotional learning skills we're teaching our kids, like it's good for us too. Like, and as we can really learn and grow together. Wouldn't you agree, Jen?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And leaning on a colleague, if you can find a trusted colleague that can kind of help you tap out from time to time, I think can really be helpful too. I used to rely a lot. I had a speech therapist that I worked with for many years. And, you know, if I needed a moment, I also worked with paraprofessionals that, you know, if I needed to just step outside the classroom door for a few minutes, could do that as well. And it was super helpful.
It's so helpful when you can work together as a team like that and be able to support each other, because we're all human and we all have our moments, but usually they don't happen at the exact same time. So we're able to be there for each other. Same love in these comments. Like, Alana, I need to work on my emotional intelligence. Kim says she doesn't like that cycle I put myself through. I found I need to exercise and be quiet more. And see, that's such good awareness, right? Of what can help you through the exercise, be quiet. And even just knowing the cycle is there, because how, like, it takes a while to notice when we're in a cycle. So when you notice that, that alone is a huge win. Not overreacting to situations that occur. Oh my goodness. I love hearing what all of you in the chat have to say, because we learn so much from each other. Jen, do you have any replies to any of these? Sarah here says she's not sure if it has been said and I missed it, but is there a certain program that you use to teach students that emotional control?
So I will honestly say, I have not found something that I specifically use. I've kind of taken pieces of different things here and there and kind of put them together. And a lot of the emotional regulation resources I used in my own classroom, I actually made myself because they were so personalized. So, Sarah, you may have missed this in the beginning, because I did share about how, you know, addressing some of this is very student specific, or even for ourselves, very different from person to person. So sometimes having that personalization to what you're using to work with your students is one of the best ways to handle it. So I typically don't use any kind of structured curriculum that's kind of a boxed one that's created. I kind of like to address the situations individually so that it can meet every person's needs.
Yes. And I love that, Jen. And that's kind of what we're trying to help you start with today too. And I would love to dig a little bit more into that personalization. Like, how would you say, like, that personalization that you do? And sorry, this is off script, but I feel like it keeps coming up. And with Sarah's question, yes, how would you say, like, what would be an example of that personalization that you're mentioning?
So if I had a student, you know, I think of, and I'm sure every person in this room, even parents, you know, there's those oddball behaviors that we never planned for, right? Like, I had a student one time during a read aloud, just yell out in the middle of class. And, you know, that's a specific scenario that's probably not in a curriculum. There's probably not a book called I Shouldn't Yell Out in the Middle of My Teacher's Read Aloud. So that's a scenario where we have to specifically teach the procedures and behaviors that we expect. And a lot of us do that usually beginning of the year or maybe prior to a lesson starting. But then for that student specifically, we often need to dive into the why. And I do have some background in applied behavior analysis, or ABA, and that's where we look for the function of that behavior. So, and that's the why. Why is that student, you know, doing that behavior? And it actually feeds into several specific reasons. It's why any of us behave the way that we do. And when I say behavior, it doesn't just mean a bad behavior, it's any behavior we do. So why does my husband load the dishwasher for me? Because I give him a hug after he does it to say thank you, and he likes that, you know? So that's kind of what I mean when I say behavior. And so understanding that specific student's reason for that behavior might affect the approach I take to teaching that student, how we either want to adjust it or support them with doing it appropriately in the future.
Oh, I love this so much. And it is like, there's always a deeper why behind every behavior. And oftentimes, like, things we try to do to correct behavior are really just looking at the behavior itself and not the underlying root cause of why is this behavior happening in the first place. And that is what we want to look at, because that is where we're going to, one, understand what that behavior is actually communicating, because behavior is communication. And it's what's going to help us actually to solve it, right? To be able to figure out, oh, this is what that student is needing. And maybe when that need is met, that behavior won't happen as often. Like, maybe that student who was shouting out just needed an opportunity at some point in the day where they know they're going to get to share what they have to say, right?
Absolutely. And I think the biggest thing that's difficult, that again, it took me some time to learn, and as I mentor other teachers in my current instructional coaching role, it's getting them to realize it doesn't happen quickly. Usually modifying and changing behavior takes time. And often, if you've ever heard the phrase, sometimes it has to get worse before it gets better, that's sometimes the case as well. You may see an uptick in those behaviors as that student is working through trying to adjust it and adjust to your expectations. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say sometimes it's kind of like cleaning out your closet or your pantry, right? Where it's like you're figuring out all the things, you're looking at what's actually happening, you're getting that awareness, but then it's like, oh my goodness, I feel like there's so much work where we need to go and the behavior keeps happening. It's not overnight, and it's because those patterns that started that behavior didn't happen overnight, so you can't correct it overnight either. Just like everything, right? You can't, like, if it took you like however long to gain a certain amount of weight, you can't just lose it overnight either, right? Everything is change, is incremental, but that's why we want to look at those little wins along the way. Like if you have a conversation with that student and you understand a little bit more, that is a huge win. Or, you know, There's one day where that behavior is a little bit less, that's a huge win. And maybe the next day it'll be more again, but it's still understanding that growth isn't linear. Progress is happening, even when it doesn't feel like it, when you are like doing the work to check in with that student, right?
Yeah. And sometimes ourselves, when we're in that moment, we don't see that change as much. And I even think of ourselves, You know, even about when you've exercised and maybe you've lost some weight, you may not notice your physical appearance changing as fast as those people around you notice it. So maybe your principal notices that student isn't calling out as much because they're a little bit away from it. Whereas if you're in the thick of it, sometimes it might feel like there is no change happening, Even when there is. I did see a couple comments roll in about behavior is communication. I love that saying. It's absolutely true. And that sometimes, especially when you're working with students like I have that are neurodivergent learners, they lack communication skills. I mean, there's many students, not just those that are neurodivergent, but I typically have a lot of experience working with those learners, and communication has been a factor and a reason why sometimes behaviors aren't what we would like them to be.
Absolutely. Oh, and I feel like I love this little rabbit hole we went down. I'm like, we need to talk about this a little bit more because like that personalization, that just understanding, and even the whole like what we talked about with it taking time and it looking worse before it gets better, understanding that that is normal, because so often our brains go into freak out mode. Like, why is this not, like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's like, it doesn't mean that you're not, if it's looking worse, right? It's part of the process.
Absolutely. Okay, it's completely. Oh, sorry.
Oh yeah. I just saw more comments come in. So, but keep going, Jen. I was just pulling it on the screen. You could keep talking.
Okay. I was just going to say, yes, that is completely true, that, you know, that personalization comes in, and that whole scenario of that getting worse before it's going to get better shouldn't get you frustrated. I will say again, leaning on a colleague, I know for me, for many years in my self-contained special ed classroom, I had mentioned the speech therapist that I worked with, but I also was fortunate enough to get some support from a behavior specialist and a BCBA, which is a board certified behavior analyst. And they could support a lot of those behaviors, or at least help me support and turn things into manageable steps. I know a lot of times we have many students in our classroom. I had a smaller classroom because I was a special education teacher. But for those of you with 20, you know, up to 30, maybe more, I'm not sure. I know the older grades, it gets even higher. And to think I have to put that much effort into each individual student, if they each have that type of need, can feel super overwhelming when you have to tackle all that.
Oh, absolutely. And I think we have to give ourselves grace, because it's not like, you know, when a student has, you know, behavior they're working on, you are not the person who's in charge of completely solving that on your own. You know, there's like, the student has their own journey too. Like, we might be like, oh, this needs to be solved this school year. It might not. It might be like a few teachers who are dealing with this behavior, right? And their parents who are dealing with it all the time, or any activities they go to, like, it's not all on you. So I think just seeing it as like a community, calling your colleagues for help, communication with parents, all of that is so, so important. And giving yourself like compassion and grace, and also time to rejuvenate. That's why we like talk about educate and rejuvenate, right? We need to take care of ourselves so that we have the energy to show up during the time we do show up as a teacher, to really be there, but not feel like we're taking it home with us all the time. Otherwise, you're going to be burned out, and that doesn't help anyone, right?
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Deep, slow breath. I'm like, yes, there we go. That's what we need, right? Okay, so going back to our questions we talked about ahead of time, Jen, what are some practical ways that teachers can begin building their own emotional regulation toolbox? Hey, Hannah.
I think, actually one of them was just mentioned. Some of those deep breathing exercises can really help, like I had said. And also, finding just times in your day where you can step away from things when you need to get that break. I know for some of us, it's hard to get a lunch break. Sometimes it's hard to get a planning time or something like that built into your day. But if you can stick to those as much as possible, I think those can provide you with some breaks. And I also think when you can identify your own, triggers or things that are going to kind of upset you or kind of push you, being able to kind of step away, even if it's still being in your classroom, but just stepping away from the situation. Mm-hmm. And being able, I think it's awesome when you can actually show your students some of that. Honestly, I know some teachers
I don't want,
they're rattling me, or I don't want, but I think it's a great learning experience. And I think if you're willing to be vulnerable in front of the students, show them, I make mistakes too. This is how I'm handling it. It's a great learning opportunity. And for, I believe it was Sarah that asked about a curriculum, like that is your curriculum right there, that modeling that you can do for the students.
100%. And I think it's so important to show them like, yeah, when you make mistakes and we own up to it, like that too. And also just that I'm human. I have emotions. I get dysregulated. And here's what I do when I'm feeling those emotions come up. Right. And one thing I always love to mention too, is even building in regulation throughout the day, like, or if you're feeling dysregulated, okay, we're all going to take some deep breaths together. And you know what? They love it. Like the kids love it and it helps everyone. Like, so you can even bring them in with you.
Right, right. Yep. Have the students come in. I know the younger students, they love it when you make it sound like we used to do like reading and read in different voices. They thought it was hilarious. So if you can just tweak it a little bit, make it a little silly sometimes, that's also going to help bring the kids in too. And it's a great community and way to connect with your students on more of a personal level. And I think sometimes we're missing that in our classrooms.
Absolutely. And I think that connection is one of the most important things we can do as teachers, because it's connect before you correct, right? There's a reason that saying is so popular, and it's because it's true. It's really all about connection. And when you look at, like in my book, I talk about Maslow's hierarchy. A lot of us know that as educators, right? And that human connection comes before the like self-actualization and self, like, you know, all of those things. And so before they can feel like, oh, I want to learn math, I want to learn reading, I want to learn science, they need to feel like I matter here. My teacher cares about me. And so that connection is actually one of the most important parts of the curriculum, as you mentioned.
Right. And actually a saying I've always liked is that whole concept of, if you aren't meeting those Maslow hierarchy of needs, then you can't move on to Bloom's taxonomies. You have to Maslow exactly. Before you can Bloom the saying. Oh, people are putting it in the comments. You guys knew what I was going to say.
I know. You can tell we got a virtual room of educators here, right? But again, we all, even though like a lot of times we're like, oh, I know this. I know I need to regulate. I know my students need to regulate. I know behavior is communication. We need those reminders. We need to circle back to that, even when it feels like, oh yeah, I know this, it's like, but are we living it, or are we still not even as a coach myself, how often am I like, oh, I tell my husband, like, you're not doing what you tell your people to do. I'm like, oh yeah, good point. Like, you know, I need to regulate. I need to take breaks. I can't be working all the time. Right. So we need these reminders. We need to get back to the basics, and our students need it. They need us to be able to focus on these things with them.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, I love this comment. A warm cup of coffee and a quiet moment help me reset so I can show up with the energy, joy, and better connection for students. Absolutely. And just because we are their teacher doesn't mean we are their person and someone that they connect to and help them regulate. I have my person at school too. Yeah. I love seeing your participation. It's so fun recording these live.
Yes, everybody is being very insightful this morning, and it's great to have them.
So Jen, when you feel yourself getting triggered in the moment, what's your go-to strategy in real time?
So the first thing I try to remind myself of is to not take it personal. I think sometimes, especially in those moments where it's tough and we're feeling kind of that stress, that's one way many of us can kind of lean is, you know, dealing with a difficult student or child or even a difficult coworker. We might tend to take things more personally. And I always try to remember the phrase of they're not giving you a hard time, they're having a hard time. And even that for myself, you know. So I try to remember that, you know, first off, let's take that personal side out of it. Even if, you know, a name calling was going on or some other personal, you know, attacks or words are being in there, whatever, you know, whoever you're working with, whether it's a fellow adult, coworker, or a child, that personal piece needs to be separate. And that can be really hard. And then, like mentioned earlier, taking some deep breaths and even trying to step back from that moment. I think a lot of times we tend to find ourselves in heated situations, saying things we don't mean, doing things we didn't mean to do. And so sometimes the easiest thing I've ever found for myself is to get a little quiet, which sometimes upsets other people, but that's my way. I'm just going to kind of hang back here for a little bit, and then I can come back and maybe have this conversation, you know, once tension has gone down a little bit, and then go calmly into a conversation of how we can problem solve from there.
Yeah, and that's actually a really healthy thing to do, to step back and be like, I need a moment, right? To be able to regulate. So then you're creating that space between the stimulus and the response, right? You're able to then choose how you want to respond instead of letting your dysregulated state choose for you. So it's a really good thing to do. And if you're in, like, because if you're dysregulated, you might be in fight or flight. And that actually is sometimes what we need to do, is move our bodies. Like, and so if you're actually moving yourself out of the situation, even if it's just into like a corner of your classroom for a second, like to regulate, you're able to get away from it. That's what your body is wanting. And you're helping your body see that you are safe in this moment, taking that moment and then deciding how you want to respond and coming back to it. And that can be like less than a minute, right? It can be a very quick little, and often it needs to be. Sometimes like you don't even have that long. Like, it's like, I just need to take a few grounding breaths and that's all I got, you know, but do you have any routines or systems that help you regulate before the day even begins, or even throughout the day? Like I mentioned before too.
Yeah. I mean, I have kind of like a morning routine. I feel like, you know, a lot of teachers, while we love our classrooms to have routine, we also thrive on routine usually as well. It's just in our personality for the most part. You know, I kind of usually like to get up a little earlier than I need to. One, it helps if anything happens that I need to take care of and gives me that time, because I never like it if I'm behind or running late. That just throws me off completely. So I often will, you know, I'm the person that'll leave, you know, 45 minutes ahead of when I'm supposed to make up for possible traffic or an accident or something. So I do the same with my morning routine. I get up earlier than I really need to. And you know, I take some me time a little bit. Like usually I'm by myself. The rest of my family's not awake yet. So that gives me a little bit of time to kind of just be in myself.
I love the early mornings. I did not used to, but when you realize that you get your time, like it is the best.
Yes. Now that doesn't mean I'm, you know, not going to bed very early to make up for that, but yeah. And then when I would get to my classroom, I was always one of those teachers that got to my classroom early. Now I didn't usually stay late. I usually left right when it was my contract time. But that early morning was my time to focus, set up for the day. And that always made me feel good because again, I didn't feel rushed. I didn't feel unprepared.
Yeah. And it's so great that you figured out what works for you too. And like that, you know, slower morning time for you, getting to school early, but not staying late. I think it's smart to pick like maybe one or the other that works for you because so many teachers, it's like they go in early and stay late. How long until everything is done, which is never, right? So it's kind of like, this is what I do. This is my routine. And then I leave at contract time. Like I just loved that call out of like, that is when I leave. But then I have this morning routine that helps me feel regulated and grounded and not rushed before the day even begins, which I love. And any of you could find your own version of that, whether like maybe you're not a morning person and you don't get up as early as me and Jen, like getting up and doing a routine before work. But it can't, like a routine can be very simple. You can have a routine like in Atomic Habits. They talk about it like in 3 minutes, you have your routine, right? So again, you can create a version of that that works for you so you don't feel rushed as you get started into your day. Because I know when I don't wake, when I do wake up later and I'm like, oh, I have something right now I need to get to, it does feel a little rushed. And so even if you can find just that few minutes, it can make such a difference.
Yeah, for sure.
And I see a few in the comments that say like, Amy, I love getting to school early. One of the first on campus. Lynn says, years with literally no breaks in my day, I do so much better when I have even a short break during the day. Yes, it's so important. We actually need that. Like we weren't built to just be running on empty all the time. So if you've been doing that, I invite you to ask yourself the question because your brain will look for the answer. How will I not do that next year? Because just decide now you're not going to do it. So let your brain start solving the problem. How are you not going to do that next year? What am I going to do instead? Let your brain start looking for answers to that.
Yeah. And I actually think a lot of teachers try to only look to themselves for that answer. So, and what I'm getting at is your school, you know, did you ever take the time if you're not getting a duty-free lunch or you're not getting that planning time or even a short break to use the restroom throughout the day because you have no breaks. Have you ever asked your principal or your supervisor for that break? Maybe they just don't know you need it or that you're not getting it. My first year or two when I was young and, you know, didn't want to look like I needed a lot of help. I didn't say anything, but then as I got further into my experience in teaching, I realized I needed like at least my lunch, you know, to step away from everything and get that break. And sometimes it's just asking. I realize it's not the same situation for everyone. It's a little bit different depending on, you know, who your principal is or who your administrator is. But sometimes it's just as simple as asking and they can find a way to get you that. And sometimes they don't know that that's happening. So.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that, and that is a big part of it when we're like, how am I going to do that? It's like, how am I going to get that support, right? Like who do I need to talk to? Is it your admin? Is it just the teacher next door? Is it like, or again, if you're like a parent, is it like another mom who you want to like maybe trade off with your kids, you know, like, so just like exploring all the different options. And again, it's not that you have to do it all yourself. We're doing everything in community, right? That's what we're doing here, even on this podcast today, right? Is we're here supporting each other. Jen's offering awesome advice. All of you are offering awesome advice to each other in the chat. It's really a whole community feel we've got going on here. Okay. Oh, and Jen, we are just having so much fun. I can't believe it's like, do you have a hard end time that you need to be done by?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. let's see, let's talk about how can we, I do think this is an important one because again, we're not perfect, right? So how can we repair with students or even our own children after a moment where we reacted from a dysregulated state? So we weren't regulated, especially if we are trying to model that ourselves and we find ourselves in a time where we didn't. How do you repair?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest mistakes we make, so I'm gonna start with the how not to do it, is to just ignore it and pretend it didn't happen, right? We addressed a behavior, right. It got heated, or we got heated and we never go back to it, you know, when it's working with the child that was involved, whether it's at home or school. So that's the do not. I cannot say I've ever been perfect and not done it myself. But really, if you're going to repair, I think you need to acknowledge the moment. Obviously, apologizing goes a long way with that as well. And I think even if you can explain what happened and maybe why it happened. And this takes some reflection, right? We may not know, you may not be able to do this right away after something happens. It'll take you some time to reflect on what it was. And it might take some time to come back to and have this separate conversation, whether it's with your whole class, because it's something that happened in front of all of them, or with an individual student or your child at home. I think though, then it's also good to discuss, how are you going to move forward? What are you going to do to maybe try to prevent this from happening again? What are you working on? And even there, you know, is there anything that other person that you're speaking with, trying to repair with, is there anything they can do to support you? You know, it would be great if next time, if you see, you know, Mrs. Adams getting frustrated, can you guys raise your hand and tell me to take a deep breath? You know, something like that. And your kids will have to do that in your classroom. They'll look for opportunities to do that. They love being helpers. And, you know, additionally, just also then going outside after that, you know, after you have that conversation and you address it, I think then it's also about accountability. Am I actually doing what I said I'm going to do after that? So I feel myself getting frustrated a few days later after we've repaired and talked about it. Am I actually doing what I said I was going to do to show that I'm willing to work on this if it's not one of my proudest moments and, you know, I need to fix something? So that accountability will also reinforce and model for your students and for your children as well.
Yes. I find that so often we like the natural thing is like, oh, like, let's just move on from that. But when we do that repair, it actually strengthens the connection. Like sometimes I find if the repair is really great, it's almost like an even better lesson because they learn so much from that. We learn from that. And it shows them how they can repair. Like you said, it's another modeling that we can do. So, I mean, we're going to slip up. All of us are going to, like, next school year, we're going to have a time where we react from a dysregulated place. And so it's deciding like, oh, this is what I'm going to do when that happens can be really powerful. So then like, you already know, you know, I'm going to apologize. I'm going to acknowledge it. I'm going to, I love what you added about asking them how they can help, like having them raise their hand. Almost like, do you have an Apple Watch where it like will tell you like, hey, you might need to do some mindfulness right now? We can have our students be the ones to remind us.
Right. Kind of turn that so Apple Watch being like, you haven't gotten up and around for a while. Go for it.
Right. Oh, I know. Okay. I'm going to pick one final question before we do the fun wrap up ones. Does that work for you? Okay. So what advice would you give to a teacher who feels like they're trying everything, but the behavior issues are still, they keep escalating?
Absolutely. So I'm going to actually kind of go back to a little bit of what we talked about in the heart of this conversation, is don't try to focus on controlling that behavior. We talked a little bit about that as well. But try to get to its underlying root problem. And that's that function. So if we can understand why that child is doing what they're doing, I think of a perfect example of, as a mom, you're on the phone and your child, as soon as you get on the phone, it always feels like they need something, right? Or like us right now in our podcasts, you know, our kids need us, you know, in the least convenient time. You know, so like, why are they doing that? Why are they choosing that time? Did we plan poorly? Like, is it their lunchtime? Or is it, you know, they just want attention from us? You know, I think of a kid while you're on the phone and they're constantly like tugging at your shirt or your pants while you're talking. And you're like, any other time you would leave me alone. But the second I pick up that phone, you're right there. Why is that kind of going on? And usually in most cases, that's an attention seeking thing that's going on. And then also I think being able to prioritize your own emotional regulation is going to help with that change initially. Because if you can keep yourself regulated and calm in that situation, it's also going to help that child to not get as heightened. If you've ever been around someone that's frustrated, you almost feel a little bit of that too. And you might start to feel like you're getting into that state as well, just by being, you know, in that same situation. Again, it can kind of put you in that fight or flight mode, which is never healthy to be in all of the time. And so also, you know, trying to remember too, that that emotional control really has to come first, like we mentioned earlier, before we're going to dive into education or teaching any skills or homeschooling. We really have to get that behavior first. And then look at what we're trying to do academically. In my classroom in special education, there were many times we had to stop instruction completely in order to address behavior. And while at times it, as an educator, you feel like, but that's my job to educate, to instruct. Sometimes those behaviors are so significant that you're not going to make any progress. And sometimes it's affecting the other students in the classroom as well. So it has to be addressed in order for everyone to be able to make that progress.
Absolutely. And I think that was a great way to like really bring together everything we talked about too. How you were like, oh, let's go back. And it really is. Yeah. It's about that root cause, that understanding the behavior and how that is really the most important thing. It comes before any of the academics. And I love so much that we had this conversation today, and also that you'll be talking even more about it during the Educate and Rejuvenate event. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you'll be diving into during that session?
Absolutely. So my session is called From Chaos to Calm. And the point of it is I have it packed with real life strategies to help you with supporting behavior and emotional regulation, whether it's in your classroom or at home. I'll be covering many different tools that you can use to help support that in your classroom, and also some steps that can help you with maybe preventing some of those unwanted behaviors, again, in the classroom or at home. And I think it's perfect for anyone that is looking for a way to maybe get some ideas and tips on how to better manage behavior so you can get to that teaching piece, that instructional piece. And I plan for it to try to be simple and actionable things that you can do that doesn't take a lot of intervention. So
I love that. I'm so excited for your session. It is one of many amazing sessions we have at Educate and Rejuvenate Summer 2025. This year, general admission tickets are just $5. So it's less than your latte to come join me and Jen and so many other amazing presenters at this event. You're going to want to be there. Jen's been at the event before. So tell us, why should people come join us?
I mean, there's so many reasons, but I mean, I just think of the community that is here. I mean, we're seeing it in the comments today, the people that are offering advice to one another. It's going on usually through the entire event. So get yourself involved in the community chats, the Facebook group, all of that, because that to me is always a great way to learn is from one another. The sessions are always great. I love that they are a digestible amount of time. Sometimes you go to PDs or presentations and sometimes they're a little too lengthy and you don't have the time to dedicate. But I know myself and my specific session, I tried to keep it a little shorter even than I have in past years, to help with that ability to just be able to get as many in as possible for you. And then just the things you're going to get from it are things, like I said, that you can actionably do you know, in the upcoming year, no matter what kind of setting you're going to be in, whether you're a parent or a teacher or some other person that just works with children, and also is looking for a way to get yourself in the right state for the upcoming school year.
Yes, we hope you'll join us. It's going to help you, again, like you said, get your students into the state, get yourself into the state that you want to be for the next school year, because we're going to help you with tons of teaching strategies at the event. We have experts in like reading, STEM, math, all the core stuff, but also like we're talking about behavior management with Jen session. We have coaching for yourself. We have yoga to start the day. We have comedy. So it's really an event that helps you not only educate, but educate and rejuvenate. So with that, Jen, can we have you fill in the blank? Okay. I got to figure out asking this question, right? So we have been doing a new fun thing. This is the first one. Thank you, Jen, for being our first guest on the Summer Sip. So we are doing a fun new thing. So in addition to the event, to celebrate leading up to the event, we're doing this fun I Educate And campaign that we're doing. So it's I Educate And fill in the blank. So the one I'm holding up today is Do Yoga. I've done a million of them because it's fun to have a different one each time. But we want to ask all of you, all of our speakers, each of you in the chat, how would you fill in that blank? I Educate And blank. So Jen, what is yours?
I Educate And Homestead, which is not anything that. Really.
I love it. And it doesn't need to be related to teaching. That's the whole point, right? That we are whole people outside of teaching. We love teaching. Yes, it feels like a calling, but that doesn't mean it has to take over our lives. It is also our job. And we have a bunch of things that we do outside of that. And we are here to celebrate you inside and outside. So I love these. I love seeing I Educate And Crochet. I Educate And Read. I Educate And Paint. I love these. So what I want you all to do actually is go to my Instagram, Educate And Rejuvenate on Instagram. There's a post where you'll see me holding that sign, comment, and you'll get your own and you can post. And we're going to pick one person who posts that by July 21st to get $100 Amazon gift card. So it could pay off to do that post. And again, if you have a private profile, make sure you tag us. If it's private, send us a DM with a screenshot. So because if you're private, we won't see it unless you do that. I love seeing so many of these come in. I love it. Walk at least 5 miles a day. Love the grandkids. Educate And Paint. Exercise. So much fun. Okay. I might just shorten it to just those two questions because we got through so many. Do you want to answer any of the other questions? Did you have a funny student story you wanted to share, actually?
I did. So it took me a little bit because I,
because the amount of stories.
The amount of stories we collect over the years, I was like, I pick right? just one? Okay. So let's just picture, I'm in my special education classroom. It was an autistic support classroom. And it was actually one of those heated moments. Another student was struggling with that emotional regulation piece in the classroom. The other students were in the room. And as we were trying to help that student work through the difficulty, one of the students in my classroom loved animated movies. And so he was uncannily good at taking lines from animated movies. So think like Pixar, Disney, all of that, and like making it the context of the scenario. So as you picture me working with this student, trying to help them to, you know, get back on track, my other student just proceeds to look at one of the paraprofessionals in my classroom and goes, "I gotta get out of here," which is a line from Trolls, Madagascar, and a couple other movies. We could never figure out which movie he was actually quoting, but we Googled. Did he get that saying? But in that moment, I mean, he was kind of saying what we were all thinking. Yes, we'd all like to kind of escape this tense situation in the classroom.
Yeah.
His ability to add in those one-liners, it happened all the time.
And
it relieved the tense situation with a little bit of comedy, which I can always appreciate.
I love that. Kids are the best. I love that, like, so like a child was doing, like I have a brother-in-law who does that, but like so fun to have a kid in your class doing that. I love that so much. Okay, where can our audience, where can they connect with you if they'd like to learn more about what you do or just to follow you online?
Well, I would say one of the best places to start is my website, which is teachloveautism.com. You can actually grab, if you're interested, since it kind of aligns with what we're talking today, I have a free behavior communication log that you can find on my website. And if, you know, that's not for you, websites aren't for you, and you like social media, you can also find me on Instagram. I have a baby tiny TikTok account, and then I'm also on Facebook. And it's all with the same handle, Teach Love Autism. Also have a Facebook group called the Teach Love Autism Community. If you're looking for more tips and ideas, I try to build exactly what we've done here today, have a community of people that can work together and help one another. And you can connect with some awesome people inside that group too.
I love it. Facebook groups are so much fun and a great way to connect. So if you loved what Jen had to share today, which I mean, there are so many of you still here in this room, over 738 among the different platforms. So thank you again for being here. And make sure you follow Jen. She's amazing. And make sure that you grab your ticket to join us at Educate and Rejuvenate. Right now, what I forgot to mention is starting today, we have different bonuses that come on through, but we have the best one right now. Right now, you can get a buy one ticket, get one free. So again, like we've talked about community, and it's so important, right? So for starting at just $5 for general admission, you and your plus one, whoever that is, can join you at Educate and Rejuvenate. So you're not just doing it by yourself. Not that anybody's doing it by themselves, because we're all here, right? But you can bring a friend with you. So go to educateandrejuvenate.com/summer2025 to learn more about that. And Jen, thank you so much for your time and being here today and sharing all your knowledge and expertise. It was so much fun having you here on the Educate and Rejuvenate Summer Sips podcast series. And if you would like to go while I pick the gift card winner and all that, you totally can, or you can stay on, whichever you prefer.
I think I'm going to hop out. My kids have been knocking on the door a few times.
Let you hop out. And then, because there are a few other questions that had to do with the giveaway too, that you probably don't need to stay here for. So,
okay.
Thank you, Jen. Okay, great. Thank you for your time. Bye. Okay. I will move me to full screen. Thank you everybody for being here today. So much fun. I saw a question about which posts do we share. I will answer that quick. And then do not let me forget to scroll and randomly pick one of you as an Instagram, or not Instagram winner. That doesn't make sense. A Starbucks winner, right? Because we pick one at every live. And then sometimes like I hit the end button and then I immediately remember every time. And then we go into the comments and just pick and tag. But that's not as fun as doing it live. So let me share my screen quick to share which post that you share so you all know for that giveaway. Yes, use operating settings. I'm going to share this screen. Okay. Do you all see my Instagram profile now? No, you don't. There we go. So this post right at the very top that says I educate and write. That's the first one. I have like a million of them here. You will just comment on it. And then our automation should send you the link to download your own version of this sign so that you can do your own post, and all the directions for the giveaway are right here. So just go to Instagram, find that post. It'll tell you what to do. If you have any issues, make sure that you reply I'm ready when it asks you to do that for it to send it. I do need to go in and kind of clarify a little bit, which I will do soon. But my calendar said 11 p.m. or 11 a.m. CST. Now I see I missed it. It will be recorded to watch later. Yes. So it will be, this will become a replay immediately. We'll also, it'll be on YouTube immediately, Facebook immediately, and then we'll get it on the podcast feeds and the app. I apologize for anyone who was on the ad event calendar. It was correct on YouTube and Facebook and our emails, but I realized our calendar, it's because I set it up while I was traveling. And so I didn't realize that it was doing it wrong. So I apologize for anybody who had the ad event calendar and it was the wrong time. I'll make sure that that is not the case for future episodes. Okay. So hopefully that helped with which posts that you share. If you want that calendar, which I will make sure is all correct, our next podcast will be on the 25th with Susan Swenson from Shared Teaching. We're nailing down the time. And then today I am planning on getting the rest of the podcast scheduled. So make sure that you have gone to educateandrejuvenate.com/live podcasts. If you're not on our email list yet, you can go there to sign up and make sure that you get the calendar link sent to you so you can be all caught up on the future episodes. Okay, now I'm going to pick the winner before I forget. Okay, so I'm just going to scroll through randomly. And boom. Okay, our winner is Madeline Turner. You are our winner. So Madeline, please email us at hello@educateandrejuvenate.com to claim your Starbucks gift card. Thank you for being here. We're so thrilled that you were here. And again, we will pick a winner at each of these giveaways. So, each of these podcasts, we will pick a winner for the Starbucks gift card. So thank you all for being here. Let me see. Is there anything else that, any other questions or anything that I missed? Okay. I got the Starbucks winner. We shared the calendar, shared the post. I would definitely say last but not least, I will share again, if you have not yet, I would recommend right now going to educateandrejuvenate.com/summer2025 to grab your ticket to Educate and Rejuvenate this summer. You can join us with general admission as low as $5 for a general admission ticket, and you get buy one, get one on the ticket that you buy. So again, you can come down. There is general admission or platinum pass. You can scroll through the page and learn more about the different options and how amazing this event is going to be. Like I said, it's not just to help you teach. It's to help you thrive inside and outside the classroom. And then a question I've been getting from, I see some of you who are club members in the chat, our members of the Educate and Rejuvenate Club get the platinum access as well. So both general admission and platinum access. But that isn't most of you who are here live. So if you're like, I don't know what you're talking about, just grab your ticket to Educate and Rejuvenate to join us. It's going to be such a great time. Right now we have a buy one, get one going on. So I'm not seeing any questions in the chat. Again, go to educateandrejuvenate.com/summer2025 to snag your ticket. Right now you can get buy one, get one free. So you can bring your friend with you. It is going to be a great time. We've got Anna Kowal, who is a comedian with Board Teachers. We've got yoga. We've got experts in all the different areas. I will be doing lots of coaching. We're going to have so much fun together. So I wish the like algorithm was like TikTok, but still love this. Yeah, this doesn't let us stream to TikTok. So I'm so glad you're enjoying the podcast. All right. Thank you everybody for being here, and I will see you. Our next podcast will be on the 25th, but again, this is just a sip of what is to come at Educate and Rejuvenate 2025. The link of the schedule, if you go to educateandrejuvenate.com/live podcasts, that is where you can sign up to get the schedule link. Our next one will be on the 25th. I'm figuring out the schedule for the rest of the podcast today. So just make sure that you are signed up for our email list, and that schedule will be sent to you. All right. Thank you everybody for being here, and we'll chat soon. If you loved what you heard in this episode, don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button wherever you're listening or watching. And hey, if you're ready to take this work even deeper beyond just a podcast episode, you'll love the book that I wrote with Teacher Goals. It's called Educate and Rejuvenate, a 3-step guide to revitalize your teaching, renew your spirit, and reignite your passion for life. This isn't just a book you read, it's a whole experience. With your copy, you'll also get access to a full PDF workbook and exclusive reader-only course modules in our mobile app, designed to help you not just consume the content, but actually apply it to your life, even if you only have a few minutes at a time. So if you're ready to make Educate and Rejuvenate not just something you listen to, but a lifestyle you live and a mantra you carry with you every day, grab your copy on Amazon and head to educateandrejuvenate.com/book to claim your bonuses.